Brent Porch backstage at BB&T Pavilion, and joining me now is a rocker that hails from the great city of San Antonio, Texas, touring in support of their Grammy-nominated fifth studio album, The Stories We Tell Ourselves, which is fantastic, by the way.
Thank you.
Spawning Smash Signals is Go to War, Do You Really Want It, and the latest hit, Just Say When, all of which have graced the airwaves of WMMR many times. Welcoming back to Philadelphia, well, Jerseydelphia, lead vocalist from the band Nothing More, Johnny Hawkins. My man, what's up?
Hey. Nothing much, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks for taking the time to speak with us. So last time I saw you, or last time we hung out, you probably don't remember, but you guys were headlining a show at the TLA on South Street.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With the Fever 333, I believe they were on that one as well.
Yeah.
Killer band on top of it. But I had the honor, not only did I have the honor of doing the stage intro for you guys, but I got pulled into the circle before you guys went out on stage.
Yeah, when we yelled Bill Brasky and we put our fists in the middle.
See, that was the question I was going to ask.
Right.
I was like, the rally cry. It was some guy's name and you just holler. What was it again?
Bill Brasky. He was an SNL fictional character that all these basic, like, drunken 40-plus men would reminisce about. And,
and
his tales always got taller. You know, it was always like these stories about this guy who did all these crazy things. Look it up. Bill Brasky, SNL sketch.
Yeah.
They're hilarious. So we always do the little shout-out to Bill Brasky.
Awesome, man. Well, very cool moment for me to be a part of that with you guys. Let's take it back to the beginning of Nothing More. Formed in San Antonio, Texas, around early 2000, somewhere around there. Take it from there. Johnny, how did you and Mark meet, and how did it eventually grow from there?
I met Mark when I was 14, and Daniel same year. Met Mark at a summer camp. And Daniel at a school, like, band audition. First day of school, first kid that I met. Basically, at the summer camp, surprisingly enough, it was like a Jesus camp, straight up church camp.
Yeah.
Like, parents sent me off there to make me a good kid, you know?
Right.
And I actually had, like, an emotional moment towards the end of this camp. And I had this feeling like I needed to go to this different school. And so I told my parents about this experience I had had. Ended up going to the school. First kid I met was Daniel, who ends up being the bass player in my band, you know, for the next 15, 20 years, right? And long story short, we were a band. I was the drummer for years, became the singer when I was about 20, 21, and the rest is history.
Were you guys Nothing More before you graduated high school?
Yes.
You
we
were?
Became Nothing More maybe like sophomore year of high school, something like that.
Where'd the name come from?
I was sitting on the stairs at Mark's house. We had gone to a rock show. I don't remember who specifically at the time, but we used to go to shows together and kind of study and glorify and idolize these people. But we were also thinking about, you know, how we could be better at what we do. And I took note.
Who brings a circular saw to a rock concert, man? Come on.
Who's doing construction out here? What the
hell? I know, right? Just adds to the rest of it.
Right. So basically, we all kind of took note of the bands that seemed to be there for the right reasons and were appreciative of being able to do what they do, you know, which it's not a common job, and being able to do it for a living is a blessing. It's a huge thing. And so Nothing More was a note to our future selves to say, you know, we're nothing more than these kids right now just doing what we love. So if we ever have success, you know, remember that. And so,
yeah, that's awesome.
It's kind of
man.
A grounding little spike in the ground, right?
Very cool. So you mentioned you started out as drums. Obviously, for a little while, you were drumming and lead vocalist at the same time. How did that work out for you?
Pretty horribly at first. Basically, the reason that I was, let me put it this way. There was a lot of things that led up to this, but we were on Warped Tour and doing the Battle of the Bands. We won the Battle of the Bands, but we had just fired our singer the week before we got the phone call.
Right.
And so when we got the phone call, it's like $10,000 in prizes. We're going to fly you out to the Key Club in L.A. You're going to showcase in front of all these major labels. And as kids, we're like, holy shit, you know, we won. And I said, we just fired our lead singer. And they go, oh, we'll find another band. I go, no. I'll figure it out. So had a little meeting with the band. I said, you know what? I'll just sing from the drums. I started doing background vocals. I'll make it work. I'll learn all the parts. So we go to the Key Club, play that show. Of course, every major label says no because we're horrible. I had never really sang in front of people in my life. It was just super embarrassing and scary.
It takes a special kind of rhythm to play either guitar and sing, let alone drums and sing.
Oh, it was pretty bad. Our other guitar player at the time quit that night pretty much. So it just became us three, and then we just chugged along. And but fortunately, Dan and Mark believed in me. I said, "Guys, just trust me. I know I don't sound good right now, but I think I can figure this thing out."
Did you ever hear of the band 2 Cents? Out of California, Adam O'Rourke, they years ago were a band that was around, hardcore band, but drummer, lead singer combo. They put they put the drum set front and center stage, basically where lead vocals would be.
Yeah, yeah.
And he did his thing up there with the guitar and bass and, you know, did their thing, man. So
yeah, there's another band we tour with kind of like that, Middle Class Rut, and Cowboy Mouth, I think, was like that, where the drummer was the singer. So it could work.
Yeah.
But
so prior to all this, you had no formal experience as far as singing was concerned. And you also had, if I read correctly, you had a little bit of not stage fright, but, you know, public speaking anxiety, so to speak.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So I was a first grader, I think, and I was in a small private school. There was like 15 kids in my class. I tried out for the choir. That was like the cool thing at that school. I don't know why, right, but it just was, because they got to travel. And so I was all excited. I was like, I'm going to get on the choir. I'm going to travel. I was like one of two kids that didn't make it. So I like had kind of an impressionable moment, I think, as a child. Kind of took that idea with me as like a limiting belief until I was like 20. And then one day I said, you know, screw it. I'm not going to let that hold me back anymore. I don't want to go to my grave wondering,
sure,
what if I could have tried it and it could have been that guy? What if? So I gave it a shot. And there was that, and also the like you said, the stage fright. The drums were always like a safety, a comfort blanket,
sure,
between me
your
and the
barrier,
audience.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it was that
yeah
barrier. And then when I took that away, I was like, oh God, there's all these people just staring at me, and it's like, you know, it's this hyper hyper self awareness to a
sure
fault.
I feel that way when I'm on the radio, and it's just me talking like to a wall. You know what I mean? I don't even have that audience, but just the performance aspect of it all. Like each show, I have a different set of nerves going into each performance, you know, even though I don't have that audience, like you said.
Yeah.
So you like to perform shirtless, shoeless. I mean, I'd have to assume at one point you had to have stubbed a toe or landed on something that you shouldn't have, jumping off the drum kit or whatever it was. Huh?
Many, many times. I've been to the doctor pulling out giant splinters, getting tetanus shots, stitching up things. Because my bass player likes to build things out of metal, and he doesn't like to sand or smooth off the edges. Let's just say that. So yeah, I get cut up a lot, but I kind of like it. You know, it's kind of makes me feel like I'm doing something. You know, I'm like doing a job. It's like I've always been barefoot and no shirt since I was a kid. Just that just felt natural to me. And then so like when I go on stage, I'm like, you know what? I don't have a real job. There's no reason I can't just be whatever I want to be.
Sure.
So I'm like, this is what feels the most natural since I was a kid. So that's what I'm going to do. And my grandma always would tell me, take off your shoes and feel the ground, because she always said my head was in the clouds.
Yeah.
And she said, you need to be grounded. She's like a very energy person. She's like, so you need to get your like awareness downward towards the earth and feel the ground. So
awesome.
I kind of took that with me, and that's where all that came from.
Cool. Wow. How about that? So would you consider your big break Aftershock back in 2013? You played in front of like, what, 14,000 people? That
would
be pretty rad.
I would say that's the moment. Yeah. That's the, as I like to say, the Eminem, you only got one shot.
Right.
Don't miss your chance to blow.
Yeah.
Like that was that moment.
So the lead single off your self-titled fourth album was This Is The Time, Ballast, which hit number one on rock radio. Did you enjoy making that music video? It was awfully wet,
oh,
to say the least.
God. Yes and no. Yes, in that it was like our first video, so it was like really exciting. I had kind of those stars in the eyes feeling. You know, it's like we're in L.A., we're making a video, we have a label now. It's like kind of what you dreamed of when you're a kid. So it was happening, but it was the most miserable video I've ever done.
Yeah.
Like, I was just shivering the whole time because, especially with water, I always just get really cold. And so the whole time, it was a 3-day shoot. One day was the ocean. One day was the indoor performance shot with just real cold water. And then the other day was the underwater scenes. So it was a lot of, lots of towels.
So
and
note to self for the rest of the videos, we'll try and stay as dry as possible.
Yeah, yeah. Now I just go for warm.
Well, the second one was Go to War, or the next video was Go to War, where you guys are performing sort of as a bar band, and you have some bar fights that are breaking out in front of you. Most of the time happen to be chick fights. I was just wondering how many takes did it take to get it just right to watch these chicks beating the crap out of each other?
I don't know. One of those chicks was Jessie Graff. She's an American Ninja Warrior competitor.
Okay.
So she was pretty good, pretty acrobatic, I guess. And some of the other people were stunt people as well. So they were great at it. It was just fun. We've always wanted to do something where we can break beer bottles and tables on each other. Yeah. And so it was just fun. It was kind of like a wish list.
That was rad. So with the next video and Do You Really Want It, the you guys have this contraption, this musical monster thing that it's a performance video. And what is the name of that thing? Where was it conceived? And is that an evolution of that bass rig that you guys had for a little while prior to that?
Yeah, that was basically all started with the drums up front because I was the drummer. I brought them forward. I told our bass player, Daniel, I wanted to stand on the drums, and I didn't feel really stable to, like, do that. So he built this metal around him. We started calling him Drumtron. That was our pet name. Then Drumtron became the mothership, if you will, for the Bassinator stand, which went into it. And then that led to the next idea, which Daniel had been thinking about launching me into the air. And so he built this catapult, and we call that Scorpion Tail now because it looks like this giant tail that I kind of retract after I'm, you know, heads 20 feet above the stage floor. It's bucked me off a few times, like where the lock broke and the thing fell off the hinge, and I had to, like, make
shake
sure not.
And
yeah,
right,
and then jump back on and have Chris push it up. But for the most part, it's been working pretty good. Props to Daniel, our bass player.
And with the latest single, Just Say When, which we're playing on MMR, you had mentioned that almost didn't make the album. That almost hit the cutting room floor.
Yeah. We, it's definitely on the softer, more sentimental side of our spectrum. And so being a rock band, especially with heavier stuff, it's really, really sentimental and sappy, you know. And so we're like, maybe this is a more of a mainstream, you know,
sure,
or alternative song.
Or
maybe
something.
We give it to someone else or, you know, whatever. But then as we started going, we're like, you know what? It's real. Like it we connect with it. We feel real about it. And if anything, it might open us up to a wider audience of people who aren't exclusively listening to rock or metal, you know?
And it deals with a lot of stuff that happened in your personal life. How would you feel if you gave that to somebody else and you heard somebody else singing basically your feelings and your song?
Like, it's like adopting out a child, I'm sure. Maybe not that extreme, but, you know, it's a good metaphor at least.
Any chance that we would see a live performance, video, DVD, whatever, from you guys down the line? Like a Blu-ray, DVD, something? You know, your performance needs to be captured and shown to the world, especially for the people that have never seen nothing more before. And, you know, I'm just curious.
I think only if we had a really big budget and I was really confident it was going to be done right, because I personally feel like a lot of live DVDs, never translates fully. That's just me personally. I've never been a fan of live albums or live DVDs. Occasionally there'll be one that I'll go, that was good. They gave me chills.
Yeah.
But most of the time, I just want to get people there to see it in person. But we'll see. Maybe.
Any ventures outside the band other than music for you guys?
Yeah. I'm real interested in MMA. That's like my love outside of that, and jiu-jitsu and stuff like that. Also doing like a little side hustle outside of the band. The bass player Daniel and I run like a trailer business.
Oh, get out.
Sounds real sexy, right?
Yeah.
You know,
hey, man,
trailers,
you gotta do, dude.
Hey, it's, so I'm always kind of looking for other little projects and things like that. I love building up new studios and stuff. Like when I'm home, I'll build a new music room or like construction. I love stuff like that. So, yeah, there's always, dude, I have like 15 to 50 projects going on at any one time.
Well, that's good, man. You're busy.
It's
like
fun.
What you're doing, and you have some like labor of love projects.
Otherwise, I'm a crazy person.
Oh, no,
you know,
no,
I have
too.
To fill it.
If you're sitting still for too long, forget about it. So we got to remind everybody, you guys are coming back along with Bad Wolves and I Set to Kill. It's going to be September 5th at the Queen down in Wilmington.
Yeah.
Awesome venue. You're going to love it. You've never been there before. I know you guys are playing Delaware for the first time. The Queen down in Wilmington. You are going to dig that venue, man, for real.
I've heard good things about it. I haven't seen it yet, so.
Yep, so that'll be September
5th,
another MMR concert event, WMMR.com or nothingmore.net for some more information. We thank you very much, Johnny. We know you guys are busy. We know you got a lot of stuff going on, and we're excited for you a little bit later on today to rock the stage for us. And please come back to Philly and WMMR anytime, man.
Oh, we appreciate it. We love it here, man. And thanks for the support, as usual. You guys are one of the coolest stations. And it's just always good to be here.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you very much. Ladies and gents, Johnny Hawkins from Nothing More. Appreciate you, bud.
Cheers.